We're glad to see everyone this evening. I would like you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. We read verse 16, well known to every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 4, we read in verse 3, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Just one more verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's death, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have read this evening about the love of God, and about the will of God, and about the work of God. Very interesting, when we think of the love of God in the Old Testament, very little is said about it in the first four books of our Bible. I think only once, and that in Exodus 20, do we read of the love of God. And yet, in those four books of our Bible, we are very conscious in reading the Bible that God is indeed a God of love. But when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, again and again we read of the love of God. That is the same in the New Testament. First three books of our New Testament, very little is said about the love of God. I think only twice we read about it. But we are again very conscious in reading those three Gospels that God is indeed a God of love. We can feel it as we read the Word of God. But in John's Gospel, we read again and again and again about the love of God. And we are left in no doubt that God indeed is a God of love. Now when we think of this lovely verse, we think first of all of the measure of this love. For God so loved the world. And that little word "so" is found three times in John chapter 3. And each time it is linked with one of the divine Trinity, with the Father in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it is linked to the Lord Jesus. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of eternal length. But then again, it is linked with the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So that in our chapter, the measure of the love of God is seen in the activity of the divine Spirit. But not only do we read of the measure of His love, but we read of its expression. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let us think of that word only for a moment. It is an expression that is very unique. When we read of the only son of his mother concerning a young man, it simply meant that he occupied a place in that home from which everyone else was excluded. And when God speaks of the only begotten Son of God, we see one who occupied a place in the Godhead from which every other creature is absolutely excluded. And yet we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But not only so, we read in our chapter of the magnanimity of His love. How great it is. And this is exactly what our Bible says, that God's love is great. And we are told that it is so great that He loved the world of sinners lost. And ruined by the fall, salvation through that highest cause, He offers free to all. And then we read of the message of this love. We are told that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever means me, better than my name, anyone, everyone, is that not the same? Believing in salvation, written, through, and free. Oh, that blessed whosoever, that means me. That means thee. And thank God, this is the message of the love of God. But let us now think of the will of God. It is the will of God that all men should be saved and should come unto the knowledge of the truth. And surely, if it is God's will that all men should be saved, that means if anyone is lost, that soul is lost by his own deliberate choice. And he's lost because he wills to be lost. I want you to know three alls in our chapter, 1 Timothy 2. We are to pray for all because it is the will of God that all men should be saved. And the reason why he's able to do it is because Christ gave himself a ransom for all. And that means potentially in the work of Christ on the cross, there is sufficient to bring all to heaven if all would only believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are told that it is the will of God that all men should be saved. We cannot charge God home with partiality. We cannot charge Him for preaching a gospel to the world when only probation is made for a few. We cannot charge God with that. It is the will of God that all men should be saved. And that means there is no excuse if anyone is lost. The elect are the whosoever will. The non-elect are the whosoever wants. But now let us look at the work of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. Let me say, dear friend, that God was in the person of Christ. Our Savior said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." God was in the person of Christ for this purpose, that he might reconcile the world unto himself. God was in the atonement. What was it that went into the sacrifice that was offered at Calvary? All that our Savior was and ever was and ever shall be, the God-man. It all went into the sacrifice that was offered on the cross. That means an unlimited atonement that can be preached to all the world. God was in the passion of Christ. Every tear that he shed was the tear of God himself. And in the compassion of Christ, we see the very heart of God. God was in the passion of Christ. What for? To reconcile the world unto himself. To bridge a mighty gulf between the sinner and God. Man was so estranged from God. So alienated from the life of God. That he needed reconciliation in every way. First and foremost was a reconciliation with God himself. Sin had created the gulf. Sin had created the hostility in my heart against the very God of heaven. Now that gulf had to be bridged. I, as a sinner, had to be reconciled, and God was in Christ to bridge that mighty gulf and bring me to God himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But man needed reconciliation with himself. Sin had created chaos in our own personality, so that natural man, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, is at odds against his better self. And man needed reconciliation to himself. He needed to be able to live with his own conscience. And God was in Christ, reconciling, bringing man to God and putting man right with his own conscience. And man needed a reconciliation to his fellow man. Sin had made enmity against each other. And thus the reconciling power of God is designed to bring us into harmony with God into harmony with our own conscience and into harmony with our fellow men in Christian fellowship, one with the other. Now someone may say, in what way needed we reconciliation to God? First of all, we needed reconciliation to the mind of God. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And thus, our whole intellectual powers had to be brought in to fellowship with God. They had to be reconciled to the mind of God. Not only so, but we needed to be reconciled to the heart of God. Our very affections were absolutely alienated, so that we needed that gulf to be breached. We needed to be reconciled to the face of God. How could we ever enter heaven as sinners? How could we ever enjoy God in that holy habitation of God without a nature to do it? And so God was in Christ, so that we may be reconciled to the mind of God and to the heart of God and to the very home of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That's the love of God. That is the will of God. That is the work of God. That you and I, tasting of the love of God, realizing the extent that that love was willing to go even to the death of our Savior. And then to think the Spirit of God is in the gospel, is here in our world, and what is his business? That he may bring before men and women and boys and girls the lovely story of Jesus and his love, and God is one purpose, and that is your reconciliation, you being brought to God, and by the cross of our Savior, washed from all your sins, and ready to meet the very God that loved you in a harmony of mind, in a harmony of affection, and then in the joy of that hope that he has prepared for those that love him. May the Lord grant it for his name.